You're listening to the OMP Check-In and SPS podcast.
Yeah, this podcast brings you the latest happenings in the OMP industry. We're unpacking the latest trends and news from our tight-knit orthotics and prosthetics community.
So thank you for joining us. My name is Jackie Green, and I'm a marketing specialist at SPS.
Yeah, and I'm Brendan Erickson. I'm a regional sales manager here, coincidentally also from SPS.
In each episode, we will discuss a hot topic in the industry, provide an SPS update, and cover a news article from the O&P world. In this special episode, the hot topic and the SPS update are one and the same. So let's get this thing started. Here we are, episode one. We are super excited to share some important news today, and I don't want to spoil anything, but in the moment, we'll be hearing from SPS VP of Operations, Colson Chase, and our Director of Sales, Jamie Siebel. So, Brendan, what are you expecting from this conversation? What do you think they'll say?
Well, knowing both of those guys pretty well, it's going to be good. Everybody listens when they talk, but no, it's going to be some of our supply chain optimization. And as many of our listeners would like to know, it's pretty important to get your orthotic and prosthetic devices from point A to point B as quickly as possible. And that's kind of the name of the game with our supply chain optimization. Back in August of 2020, we opened our new Alpharetta distribution center, which I don't know if any of you guys have been there or not, but go. It is amazing. It's awesome to see. It's got all the latest technology. And we almost doubled our entire inventory space, really in an effort to streamline all the packing and shipping of all these important products that we got to get out into the field. So I think Colson and Jamie are going to go pretty far in depth into that and really announce, you know, kind of the milestones that we're achieving here.
Okay. So without further ado, let's get heading over to the interview. It sounds like there's going to be some pretty big news coming our way.
Welcome to SPS Check-In and happy 2022. I'm joined today by Colson Chase, VP of SPS, here to share some exciting news.
Yeah, thanks, Jamie. Indeed, we have some pretty exciting news to share today. We recently announced our strategy to optimize our distribution operations.
Nice. Sounds like there's a lot going on at SPS. Can you walk us through what that strategy looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So to give you some background, a few years back, seeing the changing landscape in supply chain, we decided to be proactive and develop out a new long-term strategy. So knowing an optimized supply chain is really critical for O&P clinics. We knew we needed to have an innovative solution that really would create efficiencies for our customers, giving them back that valuable time to focus on patient outcomes. So we developed our strategy to ensure productivity in our supply chain, really kind of including, you know, establishing a regional warehouse network with East and West DCs, with almost 50% more SKUs in our inventory, reducing our drop ships and increasing service levels. You know, additionally, as we recently did in our new East warehouse here, we will be rolling out new warehouse automation technologies and equipment to our West warehouse soon as well.
Okay, so let's dig in a bit here and talk a little bit about the regional warehouse network. We just upgraded our Alpharetta warehouse. Can you tell us a little bit about what we did there?
Yeah. So, you know, with the opening of our new Alpharetta warehouse last year, we've doubled our capacity and now stock over 30,000 SKUs in that one location. Actually, I think we're up to about 36,000 now. We've heavily invested in new technologies and processes in Alpharetta as well. So we have two pack size machines that make the box to just the right size. We've upgraded our warehouse management system to streamline the operations. We have many other enhancements as well that we've done throughout the building. We also added a few thousand SKUs to our Reno facility, and we'll be doing more upgrades there as well.
So with the focus on building out the inventory in the two regional warehouses and making these upgrades, what does that mean for our warehouses in Dallas and Chicago?
So with the two regional warehouses using upgraded technology, we no longer have the same need for our smaller facilities in Chicago and Dallas. So we'll be winding down those operations at both of those warehouses and moving customers over to the new regional network.
So Colson, when will that transition take place?
Yeah, so we've been preparing this for quite a while with building up capacity at our regional DCs. So we're ready to take the next steps here in just a few weeks. We expect all of our Chicago and Dallas customers will be out of those DCs and into one of their into their relevant regional warehouse by the end of Q1.
So what benefits can our customers transitioning into the new East and West warehouse network expect with this strategy?
So first of all, right, by stocking double the amount of SKUs as before, we can provide more products in one box, cutting down on the shipping costs and lead time, right? So instead of receiving one box from Alpharetta, one box from Chicago, and another as a drop ship from a supplier, customers are going to be able to get most of those items all in that one box from one location. Additionally, with our new warehouse management system and other technological investments, customers will see an increase in pick accuracy and more efficient box sizes and packing. And then by also reducing the number of drop ships, customers will also have more visibility into the tracking information so they can adequately plan, you know, plan their day and their follow-up appointments with their patients.
Thank you, Colson. Certainly appreciate your time today. These all sound like pretty exciting changes that our customers will be able to benefit from.
Yeah, absolutely. They sure do.
And of course, with these big changes ahead, I'm sure many of our customers will have a lot of questions, right? Don't hesitate at all to reach out to your SPS sales manager. They're there to help you. They can certainly provide you additional guidance about what this means for you, when the transition will take place, and anything else that you'll need to know. With that, thanks to you, Colson. Appreciate your time jumping on to the SPS check-in today and sharing this exciting news with us.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks, Jamie.
All right. So there you have it, Colson and Jamie. All right. These changes are going to have really substantial and positive impacts on customers. So it's really exciting to hear them talk about it. Again, my takeaway, we're going to have more products in stock. We're still going to maintain our same delivery commitments or maybe even improve on them. And one thing that everybody's been talking about is more products in one box, right? So more efficient on the customer's end. So really excited about it. And let's get it going.
Yeah, some pretty exciting news. And yeah, the more products in one box, and we have one of those fancy, what do you call them, pack size machines.
Pack size, yeah, yeah, pack size.
So cool to watch it just shoot out cardboard like it's a printer. And somehow it, I don't even know. They've explained it to me so many times, and it just knows what size the box needs to be for the products. It's really cool. So this is very exciting news. So if you would like to see the full interview, you can view the video or read the transcript via the SPS blog on our website, spsco.com.
Yeah, now it's time for some more O&P trends in the news. What do you have for us, Jackie?
Oh, man. So we have the 2022 Winter Paralympics. They are coming up
awesome.
Here in early March. We also have some interesting stuff on smart prosthetics, something with targeted muscle reinnervation.
Definitely. That's a tough one to say.
Yeah. Oh, so that looked really interesting. And then the other one that we're going to kind of glance over, and it kind of ties into that article, is trying to study the awareness in individuals with lower limb loss and like, what does that cost them? Because there's no real way to measure how much mental and physical energy it takes for somebody to just operate with a prosthetic device.
Right, right.
So two of those articles tie together. And this article was saying that there are 736 Paralympics across 78 medal events. I mean,
right. 78 different events. Yep. And how awesome is that, just to have the sheer numbers of, that many talented athletes.
Right. I
would love to be there. I would love to watch and cheer them on and help support them. But yeah, I mean, like I was reading through it. I mean, there's everything from, of course, alpine skiing and cross country skiing to now snowboarding and the biathlon and sled hockey.
Right.
And then one I was really kind of wanting to watch is the wheelchair curling.
Oh yeah, I did see an article on that, and I was like, okay, I personally really like curling. Is kind of entertaining to me in general, so I really am excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah, it's fun too if you ever get out and do it. I mean, it's like kind of shuffleboard but on ice, so there's that whole other added element. And I enjoy all these, any type of sporting event where I can root them on.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that.
Yeah, and that happens right after Academy, right? March 4th is when it starts?
Yes, it does. Literally, Academy will end that Saturday, and that Friday is kickoff for the Paralympics. So,
That's awesome.
Kind of overlap really nicely. Cool.
Yeah, and it's also, like, I did see it's being streamed on some different networks. It says here NBC Universal and some of the digital platforms. So if you've got that on your smart TV, throw it on and put it on the background while you guys are making legs and you're in your shops. And
Oh, man, what a kind of fun background noise to have playing while you're working. So I know we both kind of were reading through the targeted muscle reinnervation, and you were kind of walking me through how they were using the nerves from their amputated limbs and putting them on the new muscle to kind of help reduce the muscle control that's necessary to control the prosthetic device.
Right. And what they're working with here, this is, it's all for upper limb amputations, right? And we've got a lot of myo technology now out there with, like, say, the B-Bionic or Michelangelo hands. And what you're doing there is you're putting an electrode on a muscle belly, and you're then teaching the patient different patterns to either flex or extend those muscles. And then the hand will react to that either flexion or extension.
Right. And
I think what they're doing here, and this is what I was saying, I do throw out a caveat because I'm just not smart enough to understand this, but I think what they're doing is they're kind of bypassing the muscle flexion and contraction as the, you know, driving force for the prosthetic. And you're not going to have to do a pattern. You're more actually, they're reconnecting the nerves, and your brain is actually kind of sending the message to flex or extend or open and close the hand much more in a natural progression of a communication, instead of doing, you know, three or four different flexes or something to get a desired output. You're just thinking about doing that action, and the nerve is translating that to the smart prosthetic and actually performing that. So that's the way I understand it. That's just kind of an introduction, and it's out there at UC Davis Health on the internet. If you want to, you know, put it in, the name of the article is "Cross Campus Collaboration Leads to Smart Prosthetics for Amputee Patients." Mm-hmm. And again, that's UC Davis Health.
Yep. And that article kind of jumps into the VCU News, which is Virginia Commonwealth University. Their article is
Go Rams.
Titled "The Study to Develop New Measures of Prosthesis Awareness in Individuals with Lower Limb Loss." And this is obviously talking about lower limbs, but I think it kind of was tied into what you were talking about with transitioning from, like, muscle control to just kind of more nerve firing reaction. And because I know, based off what I've heard from you and what I've heard Sam and Liz talk about, is just even operating a prosthetic device just takes a lot of energy and a lot of focus of just controlling that, not even taking into account your surrounding environment a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. So this article was just kind of talking about more of how can you actually scientifically measure that in documentation database type of way so that it can be used, I mean, more effectively with our healthcare system.
Yeah, no, I think you hit it on the head. And it's awesome because they did get a $2 million grant from the Department of Defense.
Yep.
And what the doctor, his name is Dr. Benjamin Darter, is doing, I think, is he's starting a kind of a novel way to measure the impact of higher technology prosthesis on the individual. And, you know, right now, my takeaway is that everything we're doing for outcome and measures is this really hard, objective data on things like steps per minute or steps per second, you know, to prove variable cadence, or, you know, how long can a person do X activity or Y activity? And that's, you know, then used to prove the functionality of higher level devices like a microprocessor knee. And if I'm reading this correctly, what Dr. Darter is saying is, well, what about the cognitive and the mental side of it? You know, there's a lot of confidence built around the functionality of higher technology prosthesis, namely the microprocessor knee. How much more safe do they feel? How much more confident? And that may not be objective as a metric like our other things like step counts. But truly, if somebody does have a better improved confidence and superior life because of that knee, and they feel that every day in every activity, you know, how can we actually track that and use it as an objective method, right? Because if you can, I mean, how great would that be? I mean, you know, somebody, you know, may not be able to provide step data, but they can say, hey, this 100% improves my life. I'm more confident. I can do this. I can do that.
Right. So this looks like a really interesting study, and I'm really curious to see kind of how it progresses over time.
Yeah. And I mean, the one example he gives is, you know, taking a step or, you know, standing there, and do you actually have to think about controlling the prosthesis by firing certain muscles, you know, driving the heel in the ground to get the knee into extension? Are you actually physically thinking about that and then doing that action? Mm-hmm. Or does a microprocessor take out that step of your brain having to tell yourself, I really need to drive this heel into the ground to get the knee in extension? And if somebody has the confidence to not even think about it, they can then look at more of the obstacles around them, be safer as they're walking, notice more things in the world around them, and just have a better quality of life by not having to take that extra step, quote unquote step, but in their brain kind of, you know, telling themselves, I need to really drive the prosthesis. You know, I'm cognitively driving this instead of the, you know, prosthesis providing a kind of an experience where they don't have to think.
Right. All right. So I think that's it for us. Thank you for listening to the O&P Check-In brought to you by SPS. Once again, if you would like to see the video or read the transcript from Colson and Jamie's interview, please head over to the SPS blog on our website, spsco.com. There will be a link in our show notes.
Yeah, so if you like what you hear, hit that subscribe button on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or, you know, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And Jackie, I heard you say this earlier. Did you say smash that button?
Smash I think I'm
too
button.
Old. I'm too old to know this stuff, but I guess that's what the kids are saying.
Smash that button.
Smash that button. And as always, guys, reviews are very welcomed. Please let us know what we can do to improve this. If you have some ideas, anything, we're excited about this podcast and we want to hear from you guys. So let us know.
Yep. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.